So Hanakawa, you were asking who's Payton.
Oh, I Googled it.
Yeah. Do you want to tell everyone who Payton is? Because we might as well talk about this since it's out there.
I don't really know what's going on. You said something about...
So Payton is Christine and Cody's kid, but he's kind of like been shunned from the family. Not really shunned in their sense of shunning, but like there was some physical altercation with him and Gwendolyn. And he's not welcome to be around her. It was like somebody said he slapped her. I don't know all the details. It's out there.
Yeah.
But he's
Even hear about that.
That was a long time ago. So you don't see him on TV in any of these last seasons. You never hear them talk about Payton. So he's been doing all these like TikToks and things, much like Gwendolyn has been doing, like answering questions and things like that. Responses to the episodes and things. Payton has been out there doing his version of events. Now you have to consider the source. There's credibility issues with him because of all this past stuff, and there's a lot of rumors, and that's why I'm not even really going into it, because I don't know what they all are. But there was some kind of physical altercation where there's an accusation of a slap or something, but it's also like he doesn't hang out with the family. He's like not permitted to be around the family. And that just seems weird if it was just a slap, you know. So I don't want to speculate because I don't know enough about it to even speculate. But so you do have to consider the source. There is some, you know, potential problematic issues with him as a source. But he's refuting stuff that's been out there on the show. And the most recent thing is he did this big, long video. So I guess there's some rumor that Cody was trying to silence the kids that are talking shit about him, about Cody. And allegedly was trying to get written, this is according to Payton, allegedly trying to get written into the contracts somehow, some way, that the kids would not be permitted to speak on social media speak negatively about the family. Or their father.
Ridiculous.
On social media, which just from an enforceability point, no, you can't, like, these, first of all, these kids are adults and you don't have a contract with them. They can say whatever they want. And your contracts with Cody and TLC have nothing to do with the kids. Like, legally, that's not a thing that can happen.
Also, they probably want the drama. They would love to have the children be posting whatever they want to post.
Right. So this is the story, is that and I haven't seen confirmation that, because there was a new story out there that Cody was suing the kids for talking shit. And I don't think he's actually suing the kids. I think there was something somewhere, I don't know the original source, that he had this thing going on. And Payton came out to refute this. And this is Payton's version, is that dad was trying to get them silenced somehow. Now, that's different than like suing somebody for defamation or slander, which is a whole after the bad thing is said, versus a contract to prevent it from being said and then suing for breach of contract. Anyway,
what a douche.
Yeah. if this is true, which it sounds like, Cody, I mean, it tracks. I'd buy it.
Yeah.
If this is true, like, that takes Cody's douchebagness to a new level. But I thought we were already at the ground floor. I guess there's a trap door.
Well, he's all about keeping up appearances, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Do you think he and Robin are just running around the McMansion just like with their hair on fire going, ah!
That'd be funny to see.
Right? I'm having images of, like, what's the Muppet?
Oh, the Beaker.
That runs around with the fire?
I don't know. I think it's Beaker.
I think so.
It's one of the scientist ones.
Yeah, it's like on fire running around.
He has a lab coat on. Yeah. He can't talk for some reason. Must be all the acids he's been working with.
I wonder if Cody's found the podcast, the Fraudcast, our podcast.
Oh, my God.
Probably yelling.
Hey, Cody, talk shit about us.
Please. Cody, would you like to be on our show?
We'd love to have you.
He'd be yelling too much. He'd be peeking out his mic gate.
Yes, but we have editing control on this end.
Yeah, it looks like the kids that they're talking about have contracts. And he was asking TLC to update those contracts to include that there would be penalties for shit-talking the family.
Okay.
Because I could believe that they're probably more lenient on them. Because, I mean, those contracts started when those kids were, like, really young.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, social media, coming out on social media, like, you know, here's the tea, wasn't a thing back mm-hmm. then. So I can imagine that if they're still writing on, I know TLC contracts, they're probably just re-Xeroxing the same fucking one and sending it out.
The same one they send to 90 Day Folks that we've seen.
Yeah, you know, if you're a kid, you can sign with a crayon. They don't care.
No, yeah, they
that's
don't.
Right. That's what Grayson had. You did for Grayson, huh? Signed with a crayon. Grayson signed his TLC contract with a crayon.
Oh my god!
He was like five. That none of that is legally binding.
Wait, why would they have a child sign it at all?
He had to. It was really weird. I know.
What?
For him to appear on the show.
Well, yeah. I mean, Kaya was on an episode of Diaries, and I mean, she was an infant, but like, I had to sign for her as her legal guardian. I'm like, what? Yeah.
It was interesting.
And it was all online. But
they didn't have her sign. They didn't have Hanakawa sign for Grayson. They had said Grayson had to sign.
That doesn't make any sense.
Like you signing on behalf of Kaya for Kaya appearing on Diaries.
Right, but I'm saying he's under 18. Like what?
Yeah, legally enforceable.
Exactly. I'm like, what is happening?
I need to find it because it literally was signed with crayon. It was like, this must be a joke. I'm like, are you guys punking me? Like,
Was it the color red? Because isn't that illegal in a legal documentation?
It was orange, actually, because I'm... It was like orange, and then I couldn't find it, and I was actually
nothing legal about anything in that scenario. I don't know.
It wasn't even really a contract. It was just a release form, release of appearance.
But still, he can't sign that.
I know. I went back and forth with them, and I was like, how? I'm like, he could barely wipe his ass and you want him to sign a contract?
He was like five.
I don't understand.
He could wipe his ass with the contract.
Dude, I almost did. But yeah, I couldn't find it. I was on a business trip and it was like crumpled in my purse. And I forgot about it. So I like ironed it in the hotel and then sent a picture. That's how ghetto they
Okay. Well, you need to find that.
Oh my God.
Anyways, like I said, those contracts probably weren't very
Having you robust. Guys as like the insiders on peripheral characters on 90 Day.
Oh, it's a mess, dude. They must not get audited and they must not get a request for documentation for things.
Like FOIA requests?
Well, just like any requests, because I think I would be a little bit more tighter on it. You know, whenever I write something for my job, and granted, it's the government, I write it knowing that someone's probably going to request it.
Yeah, same.
I don't add comments. I don't have drafts. I don't have anything that's going to be negative because they can snatch it right from you.
I've literally had my emails become attachments, exhibits, in motions at work. So they become public. They're like, okay. Katrina said in this email, attached exhibit A. Mm-hmm. So,
LOL, hamburger sounds great for lunch. Did you see that new episode of 90 Day?
I haven't seen it at all.
No, like in the email.
Oh.
I love it.
I haven't seen it either. I haven't been watching it. Like the 18-part tell-all was just, no.
Yeah.
I gather everybody is broken up. That was not a real couple to begin with anyway. So just
I don't know.
Ed and Liz were never a real couple. Okay. Anyway.
Anywho.
Yeah.
Anywho, speaking of Horton, here's a whore's a who. Isn't that what Amy said during
the Dr. Seuss reference?
Yes. Oh my God. We got to find my notes.
I had to type my notes in size 18 font because I'm getting older now. That's when I knew I was getting older.
I left my glasses, my reading glasses downstairs. I'm going to have to do that over here too. Yeah, she said something about Horton whores a who. Or Horton hears a whore or something.
Horton hears a whore. I don't think that's Dr. Seuss.
Because I had the closed captions on, plus they put the closed captions on for them most of the time anyway.
I know, I know.
Kentucky.
Well, I mean, like, I mean, Dr. Seuss, he had some art.
Oh, yeah.
He had some sexy art, yeah.
We're going to be talking about 1,000-Pound Sisters, y'all. New season, season 4 just started today. Not a whole lot of substance in this first episode, so you know, we'll go over a little bit of it, you know, whatever, and it happened and stuff. But can I talk a little bit about this case real quick? The one that I was almost a juror on the jury for.
Oh yeah, they gave you the boot.
So I was in jury duty last week. We talked about this some. I have to make sure I pull up the right article. The Fairfax County cop sex trafficking. Yes, that's the So I was on jury duty a couple weeks ago. Whoa.
What happened to your screen?
I don't know.
You look like a Dr. Seuss character.
I do. No idea what's happening. Whoa, that is so weird.
I thought I was like tripping or something. I'm like,
it does look
am
like
I that. Asleep? Did I fall asleep during the
it's
podcast?
It's like, yeah, I don't know. So, and I was at the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Virginia, which is federal district court, which is like big kicked court, right? This isn't just like traffic misdemeanors and things like that. This is federal level court stuff. And so I was really excited because I never get called for jury duty. I was really excited because I was hoping to get picked. Even though, you know, they pick lawyers and things like that. But I had a lot of reasons why they would not want me on there. But I went through like a couple of these rounds of questions and stuff. And then I would they actually like on in the jury box. And I ended up getting struck. At least one of the lawyers, they took specifically struck me off. And it could be because I have, you know, that I'm a lawyer, that my husband's in media, or that I've worked in law enforcement, all of which are things that are involved in this. So this case, so they told us generally what the case was, and then I went and Googled it after I got dismissed, and it's been in trial for the last like week and a half, and I think it's still in trial. They doesn't say that they haven't. And this story is batshit. So the general premise of it is that there's this woman who said she was involved in a sex trafficking ring. The person who trafficked her has already been in criminal court and found guilty of certain offenses. But we're in civil court now. And this woman who had been trafficked in that ring was alleging that these specific members of the Fairfax County Police Department were having sex with the madam in exchange for keeping quiet about the sex ring. So her lawsuit was against the police officers for their complicity in the sex ring.
Insanity.
And then there was also immigration issues because there was allegations about whether she was here legally. Then there was stuff about like the former chief, like these captains, these guys have all retired now, so they're not working. But she was supposed to have like allegedly came to Virginia to work as a nanny and a high-end escort and would then end up spending time with wealthy clients, but not necessarily have sex with them. That's what she was originally coming here for. And then she ended up just getting like run-of-the-mill sex trafficked. And there's that whole thing. Again, that's the criminal case separate. This is a civil case against the police officers for their complicity in this. And reading some of this stuff, this testimony about like who had what, the phone numbers, like it's just like they describe it as explosive. And I'm like, God, I wish I could have been there. And that these officers violated the law by obstructing efforts to investigate and prosecute the madam, and that the four of them all hired sex workers themselves through her as well. So the cops' phone numbers were on the madam's phone, which, you know, in and of itself doesn't necessarily mean anything. But there's a lot of really like interesting testimony about him, you know, this being involved in this, you know. And anyway, so it's, that's still ongoing.
I haven't looked into it, but it'll be interesting to read about, for sure.
To read more of what's coming out. Yeah,
the details. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't say I'm not surprised, but for people that don't know about, like, Virginia, Fairfax County, like, this is a, like, really highly populated area. I mean, we're talking, like...
And it's huge geographically. Huge.
Yeah, yeah. Right outside of D.C. So, I'm surprised, like, has it hit mainstream news yet?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. This is the, it's in the Washington Post. It's in, I think it was the New York Times too.
Gotcha.
But it's starting to be all over. If you Google Fairfax County cops sex trafficking, you'll come up with a bunch of. And first, it was like the only stories that were coming up about it when I Googled it the day I got dismissed from jury duty. The only articles about it were from. Like a year ago when they the same judge had ruled that a certain motion that was involved and that the case could go forward. And then now Googling it, because it's been in trial, the trial's been ongoing for the last, you know, week and a half. People are reporting on the testimony, but it doesn't say that any side is rested or anything. They originally told us like 5 to 7 day trial is what they estimated at, which I don't know, but it would have been awesome to be on that. But I have worked in law enforcement, so they might, even though my entire job is to be, you know, impartial, that's what I do at work. Like, I'm impartial about all the things that I review. They struck me. So
yep.
Unfortunate, but that is what it is. Have you guys ever had to do jury duty?
No.
Nope.
I've been waiting to be called.
Mm-hmm.
37 years old. Never called. I always
get canceled, like, you know, the day before you have to call to see if you have to go in. And they always excuse me. And so
I've never even gotten the letter. Got nothing.
Yeah, this was like the first time I've ever gotten a letter. But yeah. And it's cool because, like, that particular court, happens to be, so it's also right next to the jail that I used to volunteer in, who they also house some of these federal prisoners that end up getting convicted there. They have a wing dedicated to that, like federal, like terrorists and shit. Crazy. That's like the Paul Manafort cases and the big time cases that are happening. A lot of those things are happening in Virginia, because, you know, we're so close to DC, so you get a lot of those things have been in that federal court. You get spy cases, you get all, you know, so it's like all these really cool cases that happen there. And then, of course,
get Johnny Depp? Was that near you?
No.
Okay, I'm joking.
No, but here I did see him once. So they were in Fairfax County Court, which actually I have to be at next week because I have to go pay a fix-it ticket that I got about my registration, which is all fixed and stuff now. So now I have to go pay the fee. Anyway,
so that was at Fairfax. Online? Okay.
No. And I asked them that. Like, I asked repeatedly. I'm like, can I just, you know, once I get all the proof of my insurance and my registration and all that and stuff, can I just, is there somewhere online? They're like, no. And I'm like, so I have to take like a day off work and go drive to Fairfax? Like, what? So I'm going to double check and triple check, because it's not for like another week and a half. So I have time, but I've got the date like circled on my calendar and stuff. I do not need Fairfax County issuing me a warrant for failing to pay a fix-it ticket for my car registration that I forgot to re-register because I barely drive my car. Anyway, but we digress. So that was in that court, the Johnny Depp trial was in that court, and my physical therapy was right across the street from that courthouse. And this was when I was doing this really aggressive physical therapy program over the summer. I was doing it like 3 days a week. I was in physical therapy, so I was there all the time, and my appointments were usually like middle of the day, and I had a later one, and so it ended around 4 or 5. And as I'm doing stuff, I'm looking out the window and I'm seeing like all these people lining up on the sidewalk with these signs that are all like, they're supporting Johnny Depp signs because, and I'm like, what is happening? Why are they doing that? And they're like, oh, because when Johnny Depp leaves the courthouse, he drives right by here. And sure enough, right there comes Johnny Depp driving down the street.
I would have been like, can we do therapy outside? It's nice outside. Can we do a...
So that's as close as I got to the Johnny Depp case. But I will be in that courthouse to pay off my freaking fix a ticket. Anyway, yeah. So craziness. There's also this case. I don't know if anybody's following this case yet out of what's out of Boston. But she's also based in DC. Anna Walsh. They're based out of Massachusetts, and she also works like Monday through Friday in DC as a realtor, and she'd been missing for a while. And they just announced that they have arrested her husband. They had already like charging him with some kind of like obstruction and not telling him the whole truth, because she'd, I guess, been missing since New Year's Day, but didn't tell the police later and then gave them some false information about it. And so they'd, I guess, they, you know, probably already suspected him, charged him with those things, and then now have charged him with her murder, saying they found a knife and blood in the basement of their home. And he's already being held on a $500,000 bail after being arrested on charge of misleading the police investigation in the disappearance. So now they say he's going to be arraigned tomorrow morning in Quincy District Court. So that's like just happening. So we're following that. At least I'm following that. And I'm also still following the Idaho murder college student cases. I have spoken. I'm trying to get some criminal defense and other legal analysts or like law enforcement analysts, like somebody to talk about the evidence and the things that have been out there. Like when we last did an update, it was all the this is what's in the probable cause affidavit. But now that's been out, people have had time to analyze it and look at it. And oh, this is what this could mean, and this and that, and there's been a lot of really good analysis that's out there. So I'm trying to get some people to be able to come on and talk about that from different perspectives. I'm hoping. My friend who's a criminal defense attorney, I'm hoping he says yes, but if not, I'm still out there looking. Yeah, so we'll continue to keep you guys updated on those. Now, shall we get on with 1,000-Pound Sisters?
Sure. I love these ladies.
Amy calls Tammy Sasquatch.
I wrote that down in my notes too. You know what I love how they make fun of each other, but it's all in like love and good fun.
I think they learned just like laugh first so no one else laughs at them, you know.
Yeah There's so much like dysfunction in their relationships and with each other as a family, like that just oozes everywhere. Like mental health experts, we could talk for hours and hours and hours with mental health experts about the dysfunction in them and like why they do the things that they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
Whew. Definitely above my pay grade, but we're still gonna do it anyway because that's what we do, right?
Of course.
So 1,000-Pound Sisters, we're on season 4. For those who aren't familiar with these people and Amy and Tammy, they're YouTubers and that turned into reality stars. And they're both between the two of them. They weighed 1,000 pounds and it was, hey, let's follow them. And then they're going to get surgery and let's follow their weight loss journey. And over the season, it has morphed into more of the family is included. Their brother, Chris, was going to get the surgery. And he has in fact gotten the surgery since last season is what we learned on this episode. But then they've also introduced one of their other sisters, Amanda and Misty, have a lot more airtime. We never just saw them in the first couple of seasons and they've been big. So this whole episode, this first episode of the season is really kind of introducing them to the audience in case.
And yeah, Amanda also had surgery a while ago as well. She had the bypass surgery.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot that because she doesn't look like she, you know. Mm-hmm. We basically start with they recap basically key scenes from the previous seasons. And so we don't get a lot of substance, but we have where we're at from last season is Tammy is going to rehab. And then she goes to the ER and she wakes up there in the ER and she's got the trach. We spent a lot of time talking about this trach because she's got, you know, this whole trach. Why is she, you know, what happened? And she talks about how she has no memory of the day she went to the ER. She woke up a week later in the hospital. She weighed in at 717 pounds. I forget what she was at before.
It was like, I would think it's around 600 something. I think she did get up to 700 though at one point.
On previous seasons?
Yeah.
I think so too.
Because there was an episode where her and Amy went to like the junkyard or whatever so they could stand on the,
yeah,
the scale.
The scale there.
Like, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. They put her in a medical induced coma. She said she could hear people's voices and can sometimes feel people's hands, but that was about it. Talks about how she got septic from what we don't know. She talks about how they, you know, the trach process and why they do it. I guess she's not getting enough air to her lungs because she's got so much weight. I didn't understand that entirely, but it sounded fairly normal. they talked about it as needing a direct line of air in her airway, and I guess that makes sense because they don't keep her on the machine all the time. They put her on the machine like at night, but they take her off it during the day, and she has this like mister to get the extra oxygen if she needs it, so it's not an on oxygen all the time thing. Yeah, I'm really surprised. They talk about how she has, this has happened to her like what, three or five times.
This is number four.
How has she survived each time?
Yeah.
Medical and medical advancement.
Yeah,
honestly, like it's a quick action, and
it just,
if she was
insane
at home alone and it happened and no one was checking on, you know, she'd be dead already.
Yeah,
so you know, I think the constant attention she had was, I don't know, but it's scary.
Hey, fraudcasters. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge. I know I've always had problems with it, whether it was the fit or the quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims, the maker of my perfect t-shirt bra. Now I have the perfect t-shirt to go with that bra. From either crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. My cotton jersey t-shirt is now a wardrobe staple for me. I reach for it almost every day, and the fit is so perfect because it snatches me right in at the waist. I've washed it a million times, and it's held its shape really well. It fits like a dream. I absolutely love it. And honestly, you guys, I thought like, okay, this shirt is going to be too small for me, and it's not going to fit right, and all the bulges are going to show. But it doesn't at all. I put it on and it magically stretches to fit me perfectly, and it holds all those bulges in. Every little but last bulge that I have is all held in, and it looks fantastic. I absolutely love it, and it is super, super comfortable, and it is one of my new favorite t-shirts. You can shop the Skims t-shirt collection at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small up to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu.
Also, I wanted to talk about how when they recapped on the end of last season, they showed her, remember, on the family vacation, refusing to get out of the van. And everyone knew she could do it. They knew she could walk up like the three stairs, right?
It was literally three stairs to get inside the Airbnb.
Yeah, but she had this like underlying anxiety. And I kind of think that that's what she's carrying around with her all the time, right?
Oh, for sure.
She's a homebody. She doesn't want to go out. She lives in fear. And it's showing up in how like her lifestyle choices and what she's doing. But I'm really hoping on this season we see that she wants to change for herself, because she said it, you know, but is she speaking what she wants other people to hear, or does she really truly want to make a change? Because if she does, I mean, she'll be setting, you know, such a great example for people watching the show out there that are also going through what she's going through. Like, hey, I can do it. You know what I mean? So like, she's had three chances, like Chris said, three. Mm-hmm. Now this is number four. Is she a cat? Is she going to have nine lives? Like, and I don't think many people that are that morbidly obese do. So.
Right. And with all the issues that she's had. So all we have is, I mean, we have her, you know, this is where we're at. This is basically where we open the show. She, you know, these are things that have happened. She's in rehab, you know. The other thing that they showed from last season that they were recapping was her going to, like, with all her friends, just sitting around drinking excessively. That kind of behavior that she's engaging in, and, you know, this self-destructive behavior, you know, just like what you were saying, you know, it shows a level of disregard for your own life, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're not necessarily going to take your own life, but you have such little value for your own life that you're living it as if, you know, because any of these things could have killed her, and it didn't kill her. And the alcohol will make everything worse and all of that too. And she still does it anyway. And I know, at least, you know, my experience with addicts, we do those kinds of things for that reason. So I wonder, you know, I saw that parallel and I was like, oh, that's really similar to some other self-destructive behavior I've seen.
Yeah. And I think with food addiction, it's not looked on. I mean, it's starting to shift, I think, but a lot of people will just say, just lose weight, or why are they eating so much? And like, okay, but if you looked at a person that's a raging alcoholic or a drug addict, maybe you wouldn't point fingers as hard at them. Oh, well, they're suffering from an illness. Well, obviously this is a mental illness as well. It's just an addiction showing up in a different form.
Right. Right.
So,
and at their core, you know, there's some maladjustment to life happening that we're trying to self-medicate through, you know, and our choices of medication and self-medication, you know, are different for all of us.
And I heard too, a lot of people that actually do have the surgery that were never like alcoholics or drug abusers can actually develop those tendencies after the
transfer addiction.
Yeah,
absolutely. Exactly. Transfer addiction.
So they're not solving the root cause of why they're having the addiction in itself.
Right. Like, it's so common for addicts to have transfer addictions, particularly to food, particularly with women, because women tend to have more, you know, eating issues, I think, than disordered eating type of styles than tendencies that men do. Although maybe men do. I know there's a lot of, you know, people are much more quiet about men disordered eating. But I know I had a transfer addiction developing to ice cream after I quit, you know, got sober. And so, yeah, you know, if you don't address that stuff, you know, and you're trying to use this substance to or fill an emotional void, you know, if only addiction was that simple for food addiction, for any addiction, you know. Yeah. But with food, you still need to eat to survive. So how do you manage that? Mm-hmm. I can quit drinking.
Yeah.
And that solves that problem. And I have to just then deal with replacing that with whatever. But I have that option. You don't have that option with food. What do you do?
And we're in America, let's be honest. I mean, you could go get whatever bad food you want at any time of the day or night. Mm-hmm. And now you can just do it on your phone. You can just,
I mean, Postmates will like deliver it to your window. You could say, bring it to the back window.
Right.
Oh my gosh. That's terrifying.
Instead of a drive through, it could be like a walk by. The reverse rolls. She just opens the thing. Thank you. But you can, like, you know, when you used to watch like my 600-pound life and they were like stranded in the room and they had to depend on the person bringing him something. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not even a problem anymore. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Because they would have to have somebody come over and bring them the food and all that. Now you can.
The enabler is Postmates now.
The enabler. You just read my mind. Oh my God. The enabler has switched.
The enabler.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Speaking of enabling, the family enabling Tammy. Now, they I think if you would ask them, they would say they don't enable her because, you know, they are always yelling at her. But just because you're yelling at her about being whatever, you know, fat, lazy, whatever, you know, term that they want to use off for her at that time, mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you're not also enabling her. And
yeah,
and I think there's a lot of enabling. And I think at a previous episode, one of the siblings had said that they had all taken their turns being like Tammy's caregiver, and I guess currently it was Amy's, because, you know, it looks like Amy's doing all the work and what are the other siblings doing. But they mentioned in one episode last season that they'd all taken their turns. So if you take them at their word, then, you know, Amy's not necessarily getting the brunt end of the stick there. But mm-hmm.
Which is hard too, because Amy in the earlier seasons when she was pregnant and then she had Gabe and everything, I mean, she's Gage. You know, she's busy. It's like almost taking care of two kids. She's got a baby and then she's got Tammy.
So Amy doesn't want to go visit Tammy for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
One being that she's pregnant and she has morning sickness and she's going to the bathroom all the time. And that car, apparently it's a long car ride and she doesn't want to deal with that. Can't blame her. But also she's got an issue with her right now in that they had this big fight at the end of the previous season. And I was trying to remember what the fight was about, but I think it was in this enabling conversation, I think reminded me was Tammy was outside filming like a YouTube something. And yes. Amy had spent hours on the phone trying to get Tammy's prescription and she needed some information from Tammy and Tammy was a bitch to her about it. And I was like, why is Amy, first of all, let's not even look at Tammy for a second yet, but why is Amy doing these things? Like this kind of stuff is super enabling, super, mm-hmm. super enabling to her. And then for Tammy to treat her that way, obviously there's all that dysfunction. But it made me think about how much they really are and still enabling her, even though they're trying to say, oh, I'm going to buy a house and move away, but they're still enabling her. Right.
Well, at the end of the day, like Amy probably knows if I don't get her this medicine that she needs, maybe she won't take it and then she'll die or whatever. So it's like, yes, she's enabling, but same with addicts, like drug addicts. Okay. Well, you don't give drug addicts money. You know what I mean? You don't give them, but people do. Well, they need to go eat. Here's $5. Here's $10. Or I don't know, whatever. But you're trying to do the best for your loved one. But right. In the end, you're really
I don't want them to be out on the street. They're going to die out right. there.
They're not going to hit rock bottom if you're going to be calling their doctor and refilling prescriptions and stuff for them.
They have to. If you want them to live on their own, you've got to push them on, yeah. in that right. regard.
Tough right. love kind of thing. But again, it's your sibling. Oh, that's hard.
It's her sibling. And I think like, it's her older sister, right? Tammy's the older one. Because I was really shocked to find that the other lady is the older one. I was like, wait a minute, what is the what is the timeline? But I was thinking, like, you know, you always want to do something for your older sister, or on the flip side, it's her younger sister and she wants to take care of her. But she's trying to do her own life, right? No, she's pregnant again. She has a kid.
Tammy's the older one.
Tammy's older one.
Born in 1986.
Okay. Their dynamic makes me think that she is the older one, just how she, I don't want to say is afraid of, but kind of, I don't know, respects or listens to, you know, how you would your older sibling usually.
Wait, we're supposed to listen to our older sibling?
I don't know. I don't have one.
I'm the oldest, so yeah.
Well, I'm the oldest one, so yeah, listen to me. In my experience, yeah, they listen to me.
Do the voices in your head listen to you?
My younger brother, he respects me. He's taller than me by a lot, but you know.
My mom blamed my brother's drug addiction on me. At one point.
That's really nice.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's all good now, but she was like, you were so mean to your brother. I'm like, every older sibling is, I'm sorry, Nick. I'm sorry I was mean to you. Every older sibling is mean at some point to their younger sibling.
Yeah. As the youngest, unfortunately, I can say that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that every younger sibling is going to turn to drugs or alcohol or anything. Like, and I wasn't that mean, everyone. Don't send me hate stuff. I wasn't that mean. I was just your normal, like, no, your
normal older sibling stuff.
Yeah.
It's the usual stuff. You know, you hit them and then when they start crying, you cover their mouth, you just muffle it.
Okay. Right. I still have a scar in my hand from when my brother put a fork through my hand.
Oh my God.
Well, that's intense.
No. I mean, to be fair to my brother, he was just holding the fork and I was wailing at him. So, I mean, define your hand ran into will. The fork
10 times. Is that what you're saying?
He ran into my knife 10 times. Yeah. I think it's that kind of a situation.
Oh
here.
My God. It's too fucking funny.
So it went right through this webbing right here.
Ouchies.
Yeah. Goodness. And then they didn't want to give me ice to put on it. They were babysitting. My older brother and sister were babysitting me. And they didn't want to give me ice to put on it because they're like, she's going to eat the ice. Because apparently I was eating ice even back then. what?
Oh my gosh. That's funny.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
My family.
Yeah, I mean, Amy looks like she's just trying to live her life. Like, you know, you see Tammy like dying in the hospital, and Amy's like, I'm going to get my hair done.
But I mean, she, you think about it for her, she doesn't have to be taking care of Tammy. Like she did when they lived next door to each other.
It seems like a freedom. I don't blame her. She's not her sister's keeper, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, and Tammy's pregnancy like, pregnancy can suck, depending on how it is. I mean, I would want to ride for hours.
I would think that she's probably more of a struggle because of her size. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. And she has a baby to take care of while pregnant again and doing all that. I get it.
Cutie pie little Gage.
He's so cute.
Yeah. And then you have Amy's husband, Michael, who is like the hero of, although apparently he's got a past and I looked it up, but it's not that, whatever, it wasn't that big of a deal. I'll get all the details of their pasts for a future episode, but
he's pushing Tammy around in all the episodes. He's doing everything.
He has been pushing Tammy around in that manual wheelchair because she doesn't want to try the electric scooter because she's scared of the electric wheelchair or whatever. So she goes to this manual one that Michael pushes all the time.
Yeah. And you know what? He just does it and he doesn't complain. No. He just keeps his mouth shut and just does it.
Exactly. That's why he's the hero.
Yeah.
And in this episode, you got him in the convenience store shopping for snacks for his pregnant wife who's sitting in the car and they're on the phone and she's like Instacarting his shopping I want chips and I want cheese.
The canned cheese. I haven't had canned cheese in a while. I was like, damn, I want some canned cheese.
Oh, I made a gif out of it. In her mouth. I was like, what the fuck is that?
I made a gif out of it.
That's all I could think about when Tammy was like, I had a booger in my throat.
Oh, God. Oh.
Amy scarf. And then she's like, what is happening?
We had another incident of Tammy's breathing alarm going off where she stopped breathing,
which that's actually terrifying. I mean, to think that you're slowly possibly dying and drowning in your own.
This whole story. Yeah. So she stops being able to breathe and there's this like valve on the trach where you take this cap off. She can't talk. So I guess it's off at night because of whatever something, and she's sleeping.
They don't have to take that thing off. That's why I was really confused about that.
That's just for suctioning, right? Just
so it's so she can talk. Because if you don't have the I forgot what they called it, the something valve, then the air doesn't have a stopper, so you can actually, you know, push your voice out of your fucking mouth, and so that's what that stopper was there for.
Oh, is that why my uncle with his trach would cover, always doing you, this?
Yep, they cover their hole so that they can talk.
Okay,
and that's what it is. But this valve that they put in actually can stop the air. You can put that in. You can wear it 24/7. That's why I was like, why are they taking it out?
Maybe just for funny because Chris was talking about, hey, so can I take it away from you just to show you up?
but she starts yelling, he just comes and yanks it out.
they always go to commercial break with Tammy's not breathing alarms going off. They keep doing this to us in how many episodes. And so this one goes on and it turns out that I guess all the mucus that forms in the trach and tube and stuff, and was really thick and it was blocking it. And then she couldn't say anything because she didn't have the valve cap on. So I don't know if that just added drama, whatever.
She needed some suction.
Yeah. So the nurse came in and they suctioned her and cleaned it all out.
But did you like the reenactment though?
I know.
Tammy, are you okay?
I thought about that too as I was watching it. And so my kid was walking by listening kind of. And he goes, are they just going to record her dying? He is quick to call things out. I'm like, it's just like they're just acting. It's just a movie. He goes, oh, okay. Yeah. I thought the same thing. I'm like, we're just going to record the alarms.
Oh my goodness.
The reenactments are just so dramatic. Yeah,
exactly. I felt like I was watching a telenovela,
right?
In English, in Kentucky.
In Kentucky. But I love TLC, and when they put somebody from Kentucky on the show, because there's always subtitles. Paul had him.
Oh, did he? I didn't notice.
Paul, I need
subtitles for the girls though, because they like talk out the side of their heads, and so sometimes it's really hard to I'm like, what? I don't know what you're saying, and it's usually like you could just figure it out, but I don't like to use my ears that much when I'm working and listening to TV.
Now you gotta use your eyes.
I know, but I'd rather use my eyes and like try and translate that.
Yeah, I get some really good screen grabs of the closed captioning of what like Amy says and stuff.
I love them. They're hilarious.
I do too. And I just think they need lots and lots of therapy.
Therapy.
That's how Dr. Now says it.
I love Dr. Now.
Some therapy. Dr. Now says you need to go to physical therapy.
You gotta get therapy. Or, to figure out why you're overeating,
you need to go to psychotherapy. So that's just how I say it, and when I write it, I type it that way, and it doesn't autocorrect.
I was like, wait, why didn't they get Dr. Now to do the 1,000 pounds? So I think you would have threw them out the window by now.
They need to, oh my god, that would be a great show, just combining all of the different Dr. Now, Dr. Proctor.
We need the 1,000 pound sisters.
Let's throw in Dr. Pimple Popper while we're at it.
Dr. Pimple Popper, Dr. Now, 90 Day Fiance. They're going to find a foreign lover.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to have a big zit on the back of their scalp and that needs a cyst that needs draining.
There's so that good looking foot doctor and my feet are killing me. Let's throw him in the mix.
Oh, he followed me for a little while. I was like, oh, hi. I don't watch your show because feet, but hi.
Did you see, I guess it's spoilers, about Tammy and her relationship?
Yeah.
Tammy got married.
Yeah.
To a guy who also had a trach.
They got married in rehab.
Yeah. Yep. And at least, okay, I have to say this. This is the first one that's closer to her size that's not a feeder. All of these skinny guys that she's been dating.
The last one was just gross.
The super skinny guys that she's been dating that are feeders. And that last guy had dated a girl that was on Dr. Now also before Tammy.
Oh, she's on my 600 pound life?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He dated a woman from there too. Yeah, it was,
Because they do that thing like, oh, date women are 300 pounds. And it's like.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully they'll be able to like work together and not enable one another, but actually,
Yeah. I mean, focus together.
I hope so. I mean, in the alcoholism world, like rehab romances are a joke. Like we literally make jokes about it, rehab romances and the seriousness of them. I just some of them can work out. I have a sponsor that her rehab romance worked out just fine. But I mean, I don't know. I hope it works out for them, because this is the other question: is Tammy going to change or not?
You know, I mean, she's lost a lot of weight so far.
Well, yeah, but she's on a hospital diet and she's medically supervised. And
then I saw her. So I wasn't following her on TikTok because I'm not really on TikTok very much. Mm-hmm. But then I got on it today, and started following her. And she said that they're filming, that they filmed the first like 6 episodes like a while ago, but they're getting ready to film like season 4 part what they call B.
Oh, okay.
So that makes me think that there was probably a very big difference in what's going on in their lives. You know,
well, like she has surgery,
right? That's the rumor is, yeah, that she did have the surgery. And okay. So I'm assuming she's going to be back home and everything now, but I don't know, maybe not.
Interesting.
So. But she lost over 100 pounds. So she's like 6 something right now.
In this, so this episode, they have her meet with the doctor, the, it's not Dr. Proctor. He's out of Atlanta. This is Dr. Chris. And he's out of Kentucky. And yeah, so he had he was saying that she lost 100 pounds.
Is it about Dr.
Smith.
Eric, yeah.
Yeah. What did you say? Chris?
Yeah. I was like, although Chris looks really good too. He looks like he lost some weight.
Yeah. Oh, that's because my notes are Chris is the brother. He says he's lost like 95 pounds since his surgery, which is great. And then she's lost 100 pounds, Dr. Smith. Just talking with her about it and, still got work to do and everything. They show Tammy doing some physical therapy and how she was like walking like 10, 12 feet, which considering she wouldn't even walk up those 3 stairs.
That's big. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that to me, I was like, okay, so, will she or won't she? Has she or has she not changed? Has she had that thing that finally is going to push her?
Yeah.
She's actually trying there. She's trying to walk, which she wouldn't even do before.
And remember, she told Chris that she wanted flowers to be like, she wanted him to buy flowers for the nursing staff. Whereas the last time she was in rehab, she was really angry with them and being super confrontational.
Right.
So just that alone is saying, wow, she's actually reflecting, wanting to do something nice for them. So I think that's a change.
Yeah, I mean, if it was genuine, yeah. And, mm-hmm. Do we know if it's genuine or not? I guess even... she doesn't strike me as the type of person who would do it fake. Like, she just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I don't think... Yeah, I don't think there's much... I don't think you can really script her.
Yeah.
She seems to do what the fuck she wants.
Yeah.
I was commenting on that earlier too, because the scene where Chris is bringing the flowers from Tammy to the nurses, mm-hmm. seems very producer scripted to me. Yeah, oh, we love Tammy. We love taking care of Tammy. She's an inspiration to the others.
Well, nurses aren't going to say that bitch.
Right.
I want her out. But also, you see the nurse like backing up a little bit because like she has her mask on and he's encroaching her mask space.
Yes. That's all you can think about. Bringing all those flowers and she's like, great, thanks for the flowers. Put on a fucking mask. Just put them down and leave. You're in a medical facility. but so that to me, I was like, oh, that's a producer scripted scene. But that's the nurse that was acting there. I don't think I don't trust that these people have the ability to act in a way the producers would want. So I don't think you can get production tweaked stuff out of them.
Yeah.
You might have gotten it from the nurse, but not from the Slayton family.
I don't know why, but I'm looking at my notes and I wrote down all of the things they called Amy when she showed up with her blue hair. And I was like,
oh my God,
a bruised banana. A Teletubby or a troll. And I'm only saying this because, like, I love their relationship that they can just say that to one another. And next time I put on a yellow dress, I'm going to maybe look like a bruised banana myself, actually.
I'm going through my notes to see. Because she... The
blind in one eye. Did you write that?
No. She let... Oh, yeah. And she was letting Gage pick out the color of her hair, and then they did the big reveal of, oh yes, it's blue,
which everyone watch it or listening, you can't see Katrina's hair, but actually Katrina has blue hair too. I said they're like twinsies, but not at all.
Not at all, because Lauren did a much better job on my hair.
You have like the different
purple hair right
now. You have the different shades.
Yeah, the only thing I have on my notes is sorority Tammy. Why did I put that? Oh, because she was drinking.
Yes.
And she's in the beginning reminded me, like, I'm like, what's happening here? Is she rushing? That's what happened. That's what I'm saying. I had to watch it like three times because I kept looking up. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
It's hard sometimes to pay attention.
Because the episode didn't have a lot of like substance. Momentum, mm-hmm. that my like ADHD was like really running away with me today.
Me too. And I was telling Katrina too before you came on. I was like, normally with a show, I feel like it's upbeat and fun. And I guess I was expecting from the season premiere it to be that way, but obviously not because Tammy had the emergency and, you know, they started off with that. So there wasn't much like to really write about that,
you know. Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of substance at all with this.
I'm hoping it's going to pick up. It seems like they put all the dramatic stuff up front.
Yeah. And they have to get to where they are, right? Like, why are we where we are? Okay, where Tammy's in the rehab. You have to introduce all these people. It's the first episode. I was laughing though because when Amy was on Zoom or whatever with Tammy doing her big blue hair reveal, taking off the Dr. Seuss hat, she was saying, like, why did you do it? She's like, oh, you know, just a change from the shit brown. And as she's saying that, there's a poop emoji next to the computer screen.
Was it really?
Yeah, for sure.
That's funny.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's funny. Shit brown, and there's a shit right there. Yeah, I took a screenshot of it because, of course, I did. The dysfunction in this family, though, is still like massive. I wonder if they're going to address any of that.
I think they will.
Do you think they want to address the
one season where the two of them went to therapy and Tammy complained about not being big enough room for her, whatever. And then.
What I think. If Tammy's going to have her surgery on this season, which I think she will, I have a feeling they're going to make her go to therapy. Maybe she'll actually participate this time. Cause remember she didn't really participate before. She got really angry and combative and hopefully in doing so, maybe they will show, maybe it will be like expanded to the rest of the family more so this time around, maybe not, but.
Cause they need individual therapy and family therapy, but that family therapy is not going to do any good. If all they're going to do is snipe at each other, you got to get each of them alone individually.
I'm surprised that their mom wasn't on season.
Oh, she's episode. Just a piece of work.
I know. I want to know more about her because I've heard things. I've read things, but
she's
I don't know.
Bitch.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I feel like. She's mean.
Yeah. And I ended up going down my Facebook rabbit hole with Chris's wife's family because their last name was Turpin. Now, I know this is like, I don't know, this is like 18 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but so Chris is the brother, Amy and Tammy's brother. His wife is this woman named Brittany, and she is originally from this family, has the last name Turpin, and they're from Arkansas, I think. Turpin is the same last name of this, there was a mother and father who chained up 13 of their kids, of their 14 kids.
Oh, the California people?
Yes. They were in California. Yeah. The House of Horrors and Chains, and they would chain up their kids and all that stuff. And that's Turpin family. So I was trying to do like reverse Facebooking to see if there was any connection to the other Turpins, if there were some. Yeah. And I
you never know.
But I ended up seeing some parts of backwoods, you know, Arkansas Facebook pages of people that I was like, oh, I did not know. Okay. All right. It's like when you go down the YouTube rabbit holes. It was this. Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to climb out. You're just going down and down.
And you
down
just keep and clicking and clicking next.
When you reach that part of the internet. Tabs. Yeah. You're like, all right. All roads lead to 4chan.
Exactly. All I know is if I die or go missing and somebody searches my computer, they're not going to get very far. They're going to be very confused. like, what is happening?
Absolutely. Oh my God.
Did you like that thing I sent you earlier, Katrina, by the way? Speaking of, if I go missing.
Yeah, I posted that in my story about the if I go missing binder. Which actually, like, there are like real crime people who actually kind of promote some of that stuff, but on a serious level, his was obviously not serious. It was hilarious. The Instagram reel you're talking about?
Yeah. I need to send it to Hanakawa because it's funny.
Where the guy had like this notebook and he's like, this is in case I go missing. So this is the first page. It's a Dunkin' Donuts gift card to the cops. Thanks. And then here's a picture of me.
No, and then it was a picture of the Blue Lives Matter flag.
Yeah. He's like, whether you believe it or not, it'll be helpful. So just have it in there. And then here's a picture of me. And then he has a picture of himself lying on the kitchen floor. And he goes, this is what I look like. I would look like dead.
Oh my God.
And then DNA. So here's my hair, but you have to get it by the root, people. You got to get the root. And here's some of my hair. So they have the DNA.
Which he ripped off of his leg with scotch tape. I can't. I was dead. I was like, this is hilarious. Like,
this is my dentist office number for the record.
There you go. And then somebody commented, well, why didn't you list the suspects in your binder?
Exactly. Who would have done it?
This is what I look like dead. Well, yeah, if they're there.
Oh my God.
Oh, an age progression photo.
Yeah. It was funny.
Yeah.
But we digress.
Oh, we digress. We're just following too much crime stuff right now. Which, you know, don't worry. We won't bore you guys all with that. We'll cover that in our other crime ones. But I'm looking forward to the season of the show, 1,000 Pound Sisters. We've got all the characters involved. We don't have mom, so that'll be interesting. But let's see what's going to happen. Not watching MILF Manor. Which one of you guys was it?
Come on.
Which one of you said, I bet you the twist is that the boys are their sons? That was you, Lexi?
Yeah.
Well, that's the twist.
Of course spoiler it alert. Is. You saw their faces. That's how I look at my kid if you're sitting there.
I have not watched it. Mm-mm. And I've heard that they were like having to touch bodies and like see if it was their sons or not.
Wait.
Yes. That's what I heard. That's what I read. I was like, I can't do this.
Wait a minute.
Oh, God. Like, they were blindfolded and they had to figure out. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not, but I was like, I'm going to vomit. And that's why everybody's commenting like this should be like completely banned. Like, this is disgusting, TLC. You've had the ultimate low.
Like, it's one thing to have MILF Manor, but to have the boys be the sons of each other.
And not only apparently they're like 21 years old. Like, these are like children. I know 21 years old are not children, but I'm saying, like, come on. You're going to like a 56 year old woman is going to date a 21 year old man. If the roles were reversed, it would not have flown by. Like, it would have not passed.
Do you think that the statement is, yeah, you're a MILF, but how would you feel if your son was dating a woman your age?
And I think it's just like, what shock value can we get? I really don't think there is any statement. I think that they're just like, how can we just...
Do you think there's going to be another statement later that they're like, this is like, oh,
like a lesson learned or something?
The lesson, is this actor special?
That's the tell-all. That's the tell-all. Yeah.
Who are they going to get to host
the MILF tells all? MILF tell all.
Oh, no.
I'm watching it.
Sorry. Well, you can let us know how it goes.
As the mother of a 19-year-old kid? No.
Mm-mm. You're going to travel down the river of debauchery. I will watch it for you.
You will take that one.
I'm about trash TV sometimes, most of the time.
All right, so fill us in. Yeah. What do we need to know? What do we need to know from this last episode?
Oh, I didn't watch it yet.
Oh, okay. You're going to watch it.
I'm just on the Twitter and everyone's like, this is disgusting. This is terrible. I was like, all right, I'll watch it. That's right up my fucking alley. That'll keep my attention.
Oh, Jesus.
Because for me, it's like, I know it's all fake. You know, they're not really going to, well, maybe if they're kissing. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know.
Oh, God.
I don't know. Oh, God. I will say. Debbie on it.
Yeah. I've never seen so many one-sided comments, though. Like, usually it's like half and half or maybe like 60-40 when it comes to people.
Everyone seems
too
to be
far.
On the same side. Yeah,
it's like 99.99% of people are like, this is disgusting. Like, I have never seen that many responses in one direction. Yeah.
Has TLC like finally hit a new low? Has the Learning Channel become no more?
Dude, you remember when it was a Learning Channel?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you remember when you learned something from watching it other than you need to scrub harder?
There's no amount of hot showers that I can take that would let me get in the same room with Ed.
I'll tell you what, I've learned what not to do.
How not to live your life, like, check.
Yeah. And then if people were commenting, like, what does TLC stand for now? I'll have to go back and look, but it was funny. Like, the different...
Oh, they have all kinds of...
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. I used to have...
The Low Life channel.
Yeah, that was my logo.
Oh, that's Friday's. Right. That's right. That's how I remember that.
It was the TLC logo, but it said... The Low Life.
What made you change it? Did they threaten you?
No, they didn't threaten it. But I was going to try to copyright my Frazzled by TLC name because it was at a point where there was a lot of duplicate accounts. There was a lot of copycat accounts and they were reaching out to people I had business relationships with. And thankfully the business like came to me and was like, hey, I got this, you know? So there were some problems that I was having on Instagram and stuff, and that would be easier to protect against and defend against if I had a copyright.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I did try to copyright it, and you know, there was all, and then they were like the TLC. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I ultimately decided that I was moving, not gonna stick with TLC stuff. I won't expanding my repertoire. You know, I was covering like, you know, Love After Lockup, and I'm just talking about other things. And it wasn't just going to be TLC stuff. And I couldn't just say like Frauded by Matt Sharp, because that's really who it was, Sharp Entertainment. So I ended up just changing it to Frauded Media, which is then what I incorporated under. And now it's all, now I have to do my taxes. So
no.
Figure out what I paid each of you guys. Your hosting fees. Or consultants. I don't know. You guys are.
I should. I'm a consultant. I'm an independent contractor.
Yeah, but I don't know if we made enough money to
qualify
as needing like a 1099. I don't know.
That thing.
Anyway. But there was like, you guys are in a category where like if the payment isn't above a certain amount, if it's below a certain amount, there's like, it's like a tax loss type write-off, whatever. And I don't have to, I don't know. It's taxes and the numbers.
It's probably like $600, right?
I don't remember what it is. It's slightly different than that $600 number, but I don't remember yet. Because my W-2, my work W-2 isn't out yet. So I haven't started my taxes yet because that hasn't come out yet. So I haven't really looked at all the new. Any of the new laws or code or anything, but anyway, so yeah, so now it's just Frauded Media, which is how this whole thing is incorporated, is under Frauded Media, because that's what it is, I guess. But you know, tax ID number and all that stuff is, anyway, that's all really boring inside baseball stuff. Anyway, I watched a show called The Traitor, which is on Peacock streaming. Mm-hmm. If any of you guys have seen the show The Mole, it's just like that, but a little bit more dramatic and a little trashier.
I haven't seen The Mole. That was like a long time ago, right?
Yeah, but then there was a new season of it this year.
Oh, I didn't know.
Hosted by Alex Wagner. Really good. I recommend it. It's on Netflix. Go watch that. So the show called The Traitor is basically the same concept, few tweaks, and half of the people are reality TV stars.
Interesting.
And like you have Brandi Glanville from Real Housewives, and you have Kate Chastain from Below Deck and all this stuff. And the other thing, at least on The Mole, people were like, okay, this is a game. We all have to lie to each other. We have to, you know, and they get into it. These people were taking it really personally. Like there was people in tears. How could you not believe me? I'm not one of the traitors. I'm the faithful. And they were like crying and screaming. This girl, Rachel, from apparently she was on Big Brother.
Oh, Rachel Riley, the red hair girl?
Yes, she's on it. And she throws this whole emotional fit.
Oh, she did that on Big Brother. She dominated Big Brother. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
I love Big Brother.
Well, back when so it was good. I'm not recommending The Trade. I'm not recommending it as like, go watch it. It was enjoyable. It was also kind of infuriating, and it kind of like lost some brain cells watching it. And given what I watch, that says a lot, but it was fun to watch, if that makes sense. So I'm not going to say, I would say go out and watch The Mole with Alex Wagner on Netflix if you want like a good show. And then if you watch this after, you'll be like, oh, this is just Dollar Tree. The Mole.
Well, I told you what I binge watched for the last 3 days.
Oh, White Lotus.
Both seasons of White Lotus, and I want to watch them again.
I've heard they're good. I've had it recommended to me a number of times, but I have to be in the right mood for that because you have to pay attention. That's what I said. You have to pay attention to it.
I know, but then it just hooks you, and you don't.
Yeah,
I have ADD. I lose my attention span all the time. So for me to like be hooked on something and like not want to look away, that says something because I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah. You don't have to have watched season one to enjoy season two. They're like standalone. Unless you want to understand the Jennifer Coolidge character.
Right. Which I would suggest start from the beginning because she's pretty hilarious. And
I've had equal people tell me that season, I said, which season is better? Which one should I start with?
They're both so good and different.
I've gotten about a 50-50 mix. Yeah. People saying,
I like them for different reasons. I really recommend watching that. So good.
Yeah. That's for sure on my list. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's all I got, I think. Yeah, that's all I got. So thanks for tuning in. This episode was kind of all over the place. We appreciate you guys. If you like us, please leave us a 5-star review. Just hit that little 5 stars. Leave us a little hi, thanks, comment. It would be great. Share with your friends. Subscribe to the show. Let us know if I'm still looking for a polygamist. If anybody's a polygamist, I think I've got my polyamory participant on standby. Continue to reach out to us. Yes, that's it. Sorry, it's late, you guys. I don't know what's going on. Thank you for putting up with us. Goodbye. 5-casters. I used to find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. They were the first thing to take off when I got home. But Skims has changed all that. You guys know I love my Skims Fits Everybody t-shirt bras. I own them in just about every shade now. I wear them every single day when I leave the house. And they are completely worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I was not expecting from them was how comfortable they are. Even the underwire bras that I wear all day, I barely even notice. Definitely not the first thing I take off when I come home anymore. Y'all, I'm a 36DD, and I've had a reduction, and I've gone up and down and lost weight and gained weight and all the things. And the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra, I swear, fits me the best. I finally found a t-shirt bra that I can wear, but not only that, it is the best bra that I own. It holds the girls in so well, and let me just say, Hetero Life Mate really appreciates these bras too. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, from a 30A to a 46H. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, please be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show, The Fraudcast, in the drop-down menu that follows.